Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I have a simple little Bible study, and it comes out of a couple of conversations I've had the past couple of weeks of different people in our church that have modeled or are in the process of modeling what I want to talk about tonight. They're in the process of making a change in their life. And as they've made that change, they followed the three steps that I want to talk about tonight that any Christian needs to follow to reach a new level in their Christianity, to grow as a Christian, to keep on running, as Adam sang about a moment ago. I'm going to point out to you tonight that we went through these three steps when we got saved. And we need to go through the same three steps as we grow, and it's not a one time thing. You see, our salvation was an instantaneous event, and when we went through these three steps when we got saved, we were saved immediately. But growth, Christian growth, is a process. It doesn't happen just like that. It happens over time. And you'll see that these three things I'm going to talk about tonight, we need to keep revisiting. We need to keep going back over in our individual lives, because these are the things that lead to growth. Now, let me just tell you, and I won't name any names tonight, but there's a person in our church that's in the process of going back to school and changing their profession, so to speak. It's not going to be easy. I was talking to him this afternoon, and it'll probably be a 2 or 3 year process for them to get to get through the course of study that they need to get through to enter this new profession. But they have prayed about it and feel that it is God's will that they do it. And that person has followed the three steps that I'm going to talk about tonight. There's another person in our church that has made a what I would call a life-changing decision, and she has gone through the same steps, not changing career or anything like that, but something that's in her life that she feels needs to be changed, that God would have her change, and she's embarked on this journey to change it as well. And so those conversations reminded me of the truth that Paul shared in Philippians chapter 3, something that he used in his life, something, again, that each of us used when we were saved. Three steps. And so let me just tell you what they are, and then I want to illustrate for you them in our salvation, and then I want to illustrate for you how they work as we grow as a Christian. And those things are this: I have not apprehended. I have not arrived. There's something that needs to be changed. I see something in my life that God would have me change. So I have not apprehended. Number two is forget the past. Just forget what's happened in the past. Forget the yesterdays. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn from them. We should. And as God has taught us lessons from the past, we ought to remember those lessons. But you can't live in the past and move forward. You can't, just the physical act of walking, you cannot keep looking behind you and go in a straight line going forward. If you keep looking behind you, you'll bump into something. You won't make any progress. You won't take the shortest path. You won't get to where you want to go, because you're not looking where you want to go. You're looking at where you've been. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't learn from the past. We ought to learn, because God has taught us some valuable lessons in the past. But you got to take to move forward and to make change and to do what God wants you to do. You got to take your eyes off the past and start looking forward. And that's the third step. Press on. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'll just tell you straight out, Satan doesn't want you to grow as a Christian. He would like you to stay right where you are. He does not want you to make any progress. He does not want you to get to a higher level. He does not want you to do what God wants you to do as the next step in your life. And so he's going to throw up every obstacle, and it's not going to be easy. It will be hard. It will be work. And that's why Paul says, I have to press. I mean, I'm just not going to get there by coasting. I'm not going to just get on an inner tube and the river's going to take me where I need to go. It's more like going upstream than it is downstream. And that's why we have to press. Now, I would tell you, these are the steps that we used when we got saved. In order for us to have gotten saved, we, first of all, needed to realize that we were a sinner. Nobody ever gets saved until they realize they're lost. Until you realize that you have not arrived, you do not measure up to Christ's perfection, that there is something in your life that separates you from God, you won't get saved. I mean, the person that says, and you've run into them just like I have, you know, when you ask them the question, well, do you know that you're a sinner? They say, well, I'm not. I'm a good person. I read the Bible. I go to church. I obey the Ten Commandments. And that's wonderful. I mean, you know, Jesus met that rich young ruler, and he came to him and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And he said, well, I've done that all my whole life. I've kept them all. All of them. And you remember Jesus gave him one more test. He said, okay, go take everything you own, sell it, and give it to the poor. And you remember the Bible says he went away sorrowful because there was something in his life that was more important than his relationship to God. And until we come to the point where we realize we have not apprehended, that we have not arrived, we are not perfect like Jesus is. And there is sin in our life, and until we realize that, we have no desire or see no need to get saved. But I'm glad that most of us here tonight came to that point in our life where we realized we fell short. We don't measure up to his perfection. In fact, as a sinner, when we saw the Savior for the first time, I mean, if we really saw him, we've realized that the Bible was true when it says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I mean, we came to the realization that God didn't owe us anything and that it was an act of grace and mercy when he sent Jesus to die for us. And so when we got saved, we realized we haven't apprehended. We didn't get there. We didn't get there by good works. We didn't get there by the good things we did, because all those things compared to Christ are nothing. They're like the filthy rags that the leper used. And so, first step, we realize that we're a sinner. And then, number two, to get saved, you had to forget your past. You had to understand that God could forgive all those sins. You had to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ covers them all, washes them all away, whatever picture you want to use, that everything that we've done in the past that's been disobedient to God, everything we've done in the past that's separated us from God, God is able to handle. God, and that's why, you know, and the people that do not believe in eternal security, I feel sorry for them. Because what they're saying is, well, you know, I've committed all these sins in the past, and I'm going to commit them in the future, and if I don't keep my life straight, and if I don't live right, I'm going to lose my salvation. That's not right. How can God call something eternal if we can do something that causes ourselves to lose it? I guarantee you, if it depended on us, eternal life would not be eternal. Everlasting life would not be everlasting. I believe that you are some of the finest people in the whole world. I really do, with all my heart. Some of the finest people in the whole world. But all of us, including this preacher, is a sinner saved by grace. And if I had to live a perfect life to keep my salvation, I'd be the first one that'd be lost, probably before the night's over. And the rest of you wouldn't be far, no offense, but the rest of you wouldn't be far behind me. We can't keep it by living. We are saved by what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And we need to do the same thing that God does. Again, learn from our past, but get our eyes off of it. Because God, like Teresa sang Sunday morning, God has forgotten, or Sunday night, I can't, maybe it was Sunday night. God has forgotten it. I mean, when my accuser, the devil, stands before God and say, hey, you see that sin that Manning guy down there did? And God said, what sin? What sin? It's all under the blood. It's all been forgiven, and it's all been forgotten. And I hasten to say, like Paul, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? No. It's not a license to sin, but let's just know that, well, preacher, I committed this sin after I got saved. Is his blood going to cover that? Listen, when Jesus died, all your sins were in the future. Every single one of them. There were none of them in the past. And so every one of my sins is under the blood. I need to do the same thing that God has done. I need to learn from them, but I need to know that I'm forgiven. And God has forgotten them. And then once I understand that I haven't apprehended, once I understand what God has done for me in sending Jesus to die for me, I take a step forward and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. You got to do that. You have to receive Him. He invites everybody to come, but He forces nobody to come. He says, you come unto me, I won't turn you away. Come unto me and be ye saved. And we've got to take that step forward to receive Him, receive the grace, receive the mercy, receive the perfect gift of salvation that He's purchased for every single one of us. That's how we got saved. I mean, you might use other words to describe it, but that's the process you went through. You realized that you were a sinner. You realized that God could forgive all your past sins and your future ones, and you took a step forward and received Him as your Savior. And your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased, never to be taken out. All the sins were taken off of our records. The righteousness of Christ, we're dressed in His righteousness alone, as the song says, and we stand before God justified, just as if we've never sinned because of what Jesus did for us. So that's how we got saved. Now, my thesis tonight is that we grow the same way. We come to a point in our life where we say, boy, in this area of my life, I have not apprehended. I have not arrived. There's something in my life that God wants me to change. You see, if we as Christians walk around and say, well, I'm everything that God wants me to be. There's nothing else that I need to do. I mean, I'm as kind as I need to be. I'm as loving as I need to be. I'm forgiving as I need to be. I am just like Jesus, then we won't see any need to change. None of us will. But all of us, I know, I speak for all of us, know that we haven't arrived yet. We're not like Jesus. I was talking to a lady Monday on the phone, a lady from our church, and she was telling me about some of the things that were going on, and she made this statement. She says, preacher, there's been a lot of people I've been mad at. I've forgiven them all. And then she said, except one. I said, well, why don't you forgive that one? Oh, no, I can't do that. I said, well, why not? Why can't you forgive them all? If you've forgiven, say there were 10, if you've forgiven 9 out of the 10, why don't you just go ahead and forgive the 10th? Nope, she says, I'm too mad. I said, okay, then you haven't arrived yet, right? You haven't reached your goal yet, right? Well, she didn't quite agree with me, and we're going to talk some more about it pretty soon. But none of us have arrived. There are areas in our life, and I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is active in pointing out those areas in our life that God wants changed, areas that we could grow in if we became more like Jesus. And this is exactly what Paul was saying. He wrote Philippians to the church at Philippi, and he was given his personal testimony. He said, look, I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, I start churches, I've traveled the world, I'm a missionary, and, you know, the churches that Paul started, Paul was one of their heroes. And yet Paul was telling them, hey, don't look at me, because I haven't arrived yet. I am not everything I need to be. There's still some areas in my life that need changing. And every single one of us, if we were honest with ourselves, could identify at least one, maybe more than one, some things in our life that the Holy Spirit has talked to us about, convicted us about, and we know that God would like us to change. That's the first step to growing as a Christian, is to be able to hear the Holy Spirit as He speaks and know, hey, there's something in my life that needs to change. Something in my life that I need, with God's help, to move to the next level. And it could be, for example, your Bible reading. It could be your prayer life. It could be forgiving other people. It could be loving other people. I mean, you could make the list as well as I could. Maybe it's patience. Sometimes I struggle with patience. I've matured a little bit as I've grown up, but I used to be very, very impatient. I used to lose my temper quickly. I still have to fight that because it's part of that old nature. But again, I just use that as an illustration. There are areas in all of our life where we need, again, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, agree with Him and say, you're right. Here's something in my life that needs to change. Here's something I realize that if I could make it better, I'd be a better Christian. I'd serve God more. I'd be more useful to Him. And again, that's the first step, because until you realize that and admit it and say, like Paul, I have not apprehended. I'm not to where God wants me to be yet. And I'm so glad that God, you know, God doesn't do this. Hey, DJ, come up here for a minute, bud. I want you to help me. See, DJ is my example. And I'm glad that God, go down here and stand by the end of the pew. Hurry up. I'm almost out of time. I'm so glad that God doesn't put an example way down there and say, that's where I want you to be. I mean, look at how far I got to go to get there. Now, come back. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I'm glad that God just puts it right here. See, it's close to me. I mean, if God put the example down there and say, that's where I want you to get, I'd say, man, I can't make it that far. Look at how far you want me to go. But He puts an example right here and say, where I can say, well, I can do that. I can come up there like that. And that's how God works. I mean, he doesn't. Okay, thanks. Now, stay awake. I might need you some more. But that's how God works. He doesn't put things out that are beyond our reach where we might say, I can never do that. I can never progress that far. He just says, let me just show you an example of what I want you to be. That's just a couple of steps of where away from where you are. And it's easy for us to say, well, I can do that. I'm not there yet. But I believe, God, with your help, I can get there. So I have not apprehended. Now, second step, forget the past. Now, Paul, again, is a good example for us. In order for Paul to serve God, he had to forget the past. He learned from it. But just think of what Paul, I mean, Paul, a strict Jew, and he thought he was doing God's work as he persecuted Christians. We first heard about him as he stood there and held the cloaks of those that stoned Stephen. And then the next time we read about him, he's got letters from the authority on the way to Damascus to arrest Christians. I mean, he thought he was doing God's work by rounding up Christians, arresting them, throwing them in jail, taking them away from their homes, persecuting them for their faith. And Paul said, if I fixate on that, if I never forget what I did against God, I'll never be able to serve Him. I'll never be able to serve Him. And it's the same way with us. So, DJ, come here again. All right? So, here's the example that God's put in my life. Just again, within my reach, with something I can. But if I keep looking back and say, well, I've tried this before. I mean, I've tried it before. I've tried it 8 times before. And instead of getting closer, all the times I've tried it before, it's gotten worse. I mean, I took a step backwards. And I think that's one thing that Paul's saying we need to forget. Forget about how many times you've tried in the past. God has forgotten them. I mean, and I'm so glad God never gives up on us. Huh? He keeps putting an example in front of us and saying, this is where I want you to get. I want you to forget all the times in the past that you've tried to do it and you failed. Get your eyes off the past and look to where I want you to go. Put your eyes on the goal. Paul called it the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Take your eyes off the past. Everything you've done, again, learn the lessons. Don't forget the lessons, but don't dwell in the past. Don't keep your eyes on the past. Keep them on where I want you to go. Forget about all those times you've tried before. I've talked to people about habits they've tried to break. Okay, habits, bad habits. And they've told me, I've tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed. You know, a failure is not somebody that fails. A failure is somebody that quits trying. Right? A failure is not somebody that fails. A failure is somebody that quits trying. I mean, I may try to take these two steps and get to where DJ is over and over and over and over again. I am not a failure until I say, I can't do it and I'm not going to try anymore. I just can't do it. And God says, forget about all the times you've tried in the past. I mean, maybe it's not breaking a bad habit, maybe it's starting a good habit. How many of you in the past, just answer it to yourself, don't raise your hand. How many of you in the past that says, I'm going to read my Bible through in 3 months? And you get in, you read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, and then, where's all those names at? Numbers? Chronicles, thanks, Brian. I just wanted to test and see who was listening. Yeah, you read Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then you get over there to 1 Chronicles, the first 10 chapters. All those begats and beguts and all those other guys over there. And you say, oh, man, I'll read it tomorrow. I'll read it tomorrow. I'll read it tomorrow. And you might decide to skip it all together. What can you learn from all those begats and beguts anyway? And again, maybe that's a bad example. But even in forming good habits that God wants us to do. I mean, maybe you said, hey, this next month, I'm going to church every time the door is open. So you come to Sunday school and the church and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And next Sunday, you stayed up late on Saturday night watching movies. And it's time to get up for Sunday school. And you say, oh, man, I'd be better off if I just slept another hour. That way I could listen to the preacher. I'll just miss. See how easy it is for us to explain away our good and okay, go ahead, DJ, sit down, bud. But we got to forget the past. I got to hurry. Number three, we got to press toward the mark. Got to press toward the mark. What does God want you to accomplish? Keep your eyes on the mark. Press toward that mark. As I said, Satan doesn't want you to accomplish it. He'll throw every obstacle in the way because he knows what you're trying to do is good. He knows what you're trying to do is honoring to God, pleasing to God, and he doesn't want you to honor God. He doesn't want you to please God. He would just as soon you fail again. He would just as soon you get a false start again and stop. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, I find this in my own life, sometimes we try to do too many things at once. We get five or six things out there and say, in all these areas of my life, God wants me to improve. I'm going to go after all six of them at the same time. And so we, you know, step over here and step over here and step over here and step over here. You know what happens when we try to do six things at the same time? We don't get any of them done. I mean, we might make partial progress here and partial progress here. We'd be better off to take them one at a time or two at a time. Don't try to do 10 things at the same time. I mean, you know, just from a practical standpoint. Ladies, if you had 10 things to do around the house and you tried to do them all at the same time, you'd never get them done. I'm making jelly. I'm canning green beans. You know, I got to clean out the basement and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you think about all 10 of them, you'd be overwhelmed and say, boy, I better rest today and start tomorrow because I got too much to do. The same thing happens in our Christian growth. Put your eye on one target. I think it'd be pleasing God. Put your eye on one target. Hey, this one thing. God has convicted me about it. He showed me the progress I need to make in my Christian life. I'm going to do that one thing. And I'm going to stay at it until I believe I get to where he wants me to be. And then, you know what God will do? He'll say, well done. Now let me show you something else. You took that step? Good. That's good. Good progress. Now here's the next one. And here's the next one. And here's the next one. And that's what growth is all about. I sat in the back before you guys got here tonight with Aaron. And I was talking to him. And he was listening to me. Say, how do you know that? Because his eyes was following me. You know, I'd make funny noises, and he'd never done it before. He'd look at me up with those wide eyes and say, what are you saying, Pops? He didn't say that, but I know that's what he was thinking. So he's growing. He's growing. I mean, every time I see him, he gets a little bit bigger. And that's what we want. I mean, that's what I want for him. That's what you want for your children and for your grandchildren. Somebody told me Sunday, well, wait till he gets about 1.5. That's where you want him to stay. He's like, you're talking a little bit about Isaiah. Say, boy, I wish my kids could have stayed that age forever. No, you don't. You don't want them to stay 1.5 or 2 forever. You want them to grow. You want them to mature. Yeah, you want them to make progress. And that's what God wants for us. We're his children. He doesn't want to stay the same size. He doesn't want to stay at the same place. He wants us to be becoming more like Jesus, more like his son. And Paul gives us a good formula for doing it right here. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.